name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Confess our sins. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We observe a moment of silence this morning for reflection on God's word and self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our introit from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. God, heavenly King, Lord be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the prophet Isaiah in the 55th chapter of his book. And truly, as we read here, we're going to be reading a portion of a prophecy about God's provision in his son, Jesus Christ. We begin in verse 1 of chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord. We invite you to join us in our responsive psalm this morning from Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day. The moon and stars to rule over the night.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Amen. Our epistle lesson for this morning comes from the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. And in it we hear the Apostle Paul's heart and really something about the selflessness that the Holy Spirit, by the word of God, works within each one of us as he gives us faith, beginning in verse 1 of Romans chapter 9. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have a great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites. And to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race according to the flesh is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year I will return and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born, and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of his call. She was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I've loved, Esau, but Esau I hated. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand for our singing of the Alleluia and our reading of the Holy Gospel, which will take place from the center of the nave.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, They need not go away. You give them something to eat. They said to him, We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, Bring them here to me. He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. At this time, we invite the congregation to join us in singing our hymn of the day today, which is hymn 597, Water, Blood, and Spirit Crying. Let's sing together. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is what's popularly known as the feeding of the 5,000. And at the heart of that text is Jesus' disciples coming to their Lord in need and unable to fulfill his commandment. And that's an easy point to miss in the text as we read it, but it's of the highest importance in understanding the passage. In verse 16, God gives them a direct order, a commandment. In fact, technically, there isn't much a difference between this commandment and any other command of God throughout the entirety of the scripture. God literally spoke to these men that day and told them what to do. And like usual, for all Jesus' disciples, including us, they didn't quite have what it took to fulfill his word. They only had in their possession, as we heard read, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this amount of food was sorely insufficient to fulfill the divine dictate they had just received. He said to them in verse 16, in the imperative, you give them something to eat. But they didn't have enough food. Just a little. Speaking of commands, our Lord gives us commands as well in the scripture. For example, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He also says to us that we ought to forgive those who sin against us, that we ought to love our enemies. And in response to those commands, left to ourselves, we see quite clearly, pretty much every day, that we don't have what it takes. Our small meal's worth of love and forgiveness will quickly run out, especially spread across all the people who need our service to Christ and our love for them, that need our forgiveness, that need our patience. And in this, there's an amazing, quite amazing, I think, connection from our text to our lives today. We show up with only a little. Like the disciples in our text, still bound by the commandment, so what are we to do? Well, what do you do when you don't find enough compassion within yourself when you need it? Tell me you haven't had that experience. We all have had that experience. We know we need to be kind because that's what the scripture tells us to do. Clearly, we don't have a license not to be kind. We can speak the truth, like it says in Ephesians 4, in love, and still speak the truth. But when we need that kindness, when we need that compassion, even though Jesus commands us in such a way, what do we do when it's not there? We dig around. We dig around inside of ourselves, inside our own hearts. Or we look for the reason to be loving or kind to someone else, not in us, but in them. That's the usual move. And then that gives us a justification not to be kind. Because we don't find it in them. We don't find it in here. We're always searching for that strength to be patient, the motivation to love, the power to forgive someone who hasn't earned our love. And ante it up just a little bit more. It's especially true towards someone who hasn't earned our forgiveness, and heck, they haven't even said they're sorry. And maybe their sin was no small infraction against us. Maybe they really, really hurt us, sinned against us badly. Maybe they were even criminal about it. But when it comes to that kind of forgiveness, that kind of patience, long-suffering with one another, the truth is many of us feel like we're running on empty. How can we possibly give everyone what we should, Lord? Follow Jesus' commands to love and forgive, to give of ourselves. And sometimes it feels like we're asked to give and give and give. It's true all over the place in our lives. It can especially be true in a marriage, really in any relationship. I feel like I'm always the one giving here, we say, or we think, but we're smart enough not to say. But then it just builds on the inside. It even happens in the church. People will be in leadership positions in the church and they're volunteering and they're serving. And then they feel overwhelmed because they're giving and they're giving. And the leaders in the church give a lot. If you've never been one, they do. But Jesus taught us, he said, you know, whoever desires to be first or to lead must become, do you remember, a servant of all. And he has a lesson to teach us about this. Why we give and give and give. And then we feel like we're on empty. We feel like we're running out of gas. And we get frustrated and overwhelmed. And we think, why am I doing all of this? Why do I have to do this? What about everybody else? I can't just keep giving and giving and giving. It's scary. I'm going to run out. But that's how it is in Jesus' church. Quite often, huh? There's a lot to do. And the people who do it, well, Jesus has a lesson for them and for all of us as members of his church. It's the lesson that's in Matthew 14 this morning. That's not really so much about the fish or the bread or even all the people that are gathered there. But it's about learning to be a real disciple of Christ. Learning to depend on what Jesus provides, not what we possess. Say it one more time. We learn to depend on what Jesus provides, not what we possess. See, those disciples were right when they said, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. We don't have enough. And you're right. And I'm right. Whether it's in church, whether it's at home, whether it's in school, whether it's at your job, if it's in a family or in a marriage or within any relationship with another person, what we have within us will never sustain left to ourselves. It can't. It can't possibly satisfy all the needs. Especially this way too. Have you ever known one of those people who feels like they live off of your energy? You got anybody like that in your life? It's like they come around and they're just kind of taking from you. And like when you're done being with them, you just feel exhausted. It's like they're doing it not on purpose, but because something in them feels empty. And they want to draw on energy from another. Or maybe you're that person at times, and I'm that person at times. But when they pull on you, or when you're pulling on their energy, everybody ends up empty. Their emotional gas tank, so to speak. Their stamina for life. And when we read this text, it's almost like we think, oh, Jesus is just being facetious. Like he's, you know, taking a serious situation and applying inappropriate humor. You give them something to eat. That's exactly what we think is going on. Or some people have even thought that he's being sarcastic. Like he's ticked off and he just says, you feed them. I don't think so. It's true that his cousin John had just been executed by Herod right before this. That's why he got in the boat and he went to this desolate place. It's a text where our Lord is grieving. But as verse 13 told us, the crowds found out where he was. And they followed him. I mean, he can't even catch a break when he's grieving. And that's what always struck me about that. Imagine Jesus when he sees all the people needing his help in the middle of his grieving. When he sees him needing his energy, his emotional energy, they want to sort of suck the life out of him and literally live off of his life and his energy. And then to get to see how he responds to it is quite incredible. Verse 14 told us, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. That's the point where most of us would be like, really? All this happened and I finally got away. I finally got a minute, you know, to myself. Really? And here's all these people. Why can't they just leave me alone? And the pain of our grief could easily erupt into frustration within us. But look at what it says about him. He saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. And he healed their sick. He's an amazing man. He's an amazing God, because right when it was at the worst, when he didn't have anything for anybody, he still had it. He still had what they needed, and he has what you need, whether you're willing to face it or not in your daily life. He has what I need. Then the disciples come. It just cracks me up. Because they come and they say, guess what, Jesus? We need you to solve another problem. It would be so defeating for us to be in that position. But they come and say, there's not enough food and the people are hungry. So it would make sense to us if he was being sarcastic or facetious. But he wasn't. He was making this point so that we could learn. See, he wasn't just healing crowds of people, exhausting himself, saving thousands. But guess what? Even in those moments when he was dealing with all of that stuff, he was still thinking about you and me sitting in this church on Sunday morning. Because maybe you're here emotionally exhausted. We're good at hiding it. But maybe we feel like our gas tank is on empty and we're running on fumes. Like our caring for others is waning fast, and that our forgiveness is actually faltered, and that we've lived as if we were God, meaning we were the provider of what we needed for our own lives. And even amidst all that that Jesus was dealing with that evening in our text, his grief and sorrow over losing John at the hand of Herod, and all the people sucking the energy out of him every second, the disciples are worried about fast food. Even in all that, he still thought to teach us a lesson. That's why he said what he said. He wants us to know. You and me both. Stop digging around in your own baskets, friends. Speaking to myself too. Where we think our supply is, that's where we think it is. But we're dead wrong. And we'll never have enough energy or patience or love or forgiveness or compassion or mercy or anything else that we need. We'll always come up short, way short, like 5 loaves and 2 fish short to 5,000 men plus women and children short. Looking inside yourself. Because here's our chance to learn what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. There isn't enough in us. We don't have what it takes to pull off this life, to fulfill God's righteous command, to supply all that's required. But Christ does, just like he did in that story. He does the same for us. It's by his life and his death and his resurrection, that he makes it all work and supplies everything that we need. And it is a miracle. It's a miracle that happens to believers every single day when they can get up and they can keep going and keep loving and keep setting themselves aside and drown in that pride in the water of their baptism and living for somebody besides themselves. That's the miracle. That can even happen in this sinful world. He takes the little bit of energy and strength that we have to do those things, and through his power, those little offerings, he multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. And blessed we are. So that when it, within us every day brand new, there continues to be miraculously what we need. And this is the interesting part about the text, because he tells them, you give them something to eat. That's what he tells the disciples, right? And then because of him, they are the ones that give them something to eat. They're the ones handing it out, picking up the baskets of the leftovers afterwards. It was them. So through him, they fulfill his commandment. So it is for us as well. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're looking in your own basket or your own emotional energy reserve and listening to the world and their ways of telling you how to fill it up, then hear the word of the Lord today. What we need only comes from him. In his death for us, in his raising by his Spirit through his word, we're delivered his strength, what we need for every day. So we can fulfill his word, just like they handed out the bread and the fish. We can fulfill his word as well and speak kindly and show mercy to each other and be patient, especially to brothers and sisters in Christ. And his life that he laid down for us in exchange for ours makes us righteous by his command, because he feeds us. Not just back then did he feed, but he feeds us today. He calls us, hundreds and thousands and millions of people, to the food that he gives his very body and his very blood. So as we come to his table again today, we pray a prayer of thanksgiving to our Lord, as he's taken the time amidst all those healings and all that feeding and in the middle of his grief to teach us a lesson, that he's the one who provides all that we need, even though we come to him without much. He still loves us and works his miracles to keep us strong, to serve him and be his witnesses. He forgives us. And he provides everything that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time in the service, we invite the congregation to stand if you're able, as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father, your steadfast love is gracious and overflowing. Teach us, your people, to look to you in every need, to dig through the pages of your word, to talk to our Christian friends and pastors as we search to see what you have to tell us in the scripture, that we might find strength in you and be thankful for everything that you give us, and to know that no danger or trouble or hardship could ever separate us from your love in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we give you thanks that you've blessed us beyond what we deserve and given to us your church. Lord, your church is a beautiful, amazing thing that's different from the world. And you've blessed us with those gifts. They feel different than the way we feel when we're out in the world. But Lord, that's such a blessing to us to have a refuge, to have a sanctuary where it is different. Lord, so bless your church, we pray, as you bless all pastors and church workers called teachers. Lord, that you'd bless the deaconesses and the vicars. Lord, and all those that are doing professional church work, but also those congregation members who are willing to sign up for service to you, even though it means that they'll have to depend on you. Lord, you're teaching us such beautiful things. We praise you for it. Lord, we also lift up those who are considering to prepare for pastoral ministry or diaconal ministry. We lift up those who serve in our convention. We ask that you guide it. Continue to bring to fruit the work that you've done there and are doing. Lord, bless us here at Trinity in Alamosa. Lord, in your mercy. Father, your son miraculously fed 5,000 men plus women and children and satisfied them. We thank you for all you provide for us. Make us content, Lord. Lord, it takes your work to make us content, but we pray that you would give us contentment with what you've provided for us, and let us not covet what others have, but be thankful. Thankful for what your hand alone has given to us. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we are richly and daily surrounded with your love and care. Give us eyes to see your mercies new every morning and grant us grateful hearts that what we have received, we may be generous to share with the needy and your church. Lord, in your mercy. Father, daily you bless us with abundance and freedom. We pray you bless those who defend us from our enemies, who serve us in government, and who protect us in our communities. Lord, and those who provide a place for us when we're sick, to care for us and bring us your healing. Lord, we ask that you'd also be with our president, our Congress, our governor, our judges and magistrates, that they may be able to discern the right path and lead us with honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. Father, visit us in your compassion. Deliver the sick from their infirmity, the troubled from their affliction, the grieving from their sorrow, and the dying from their fear. Lord, especially we name before you today and ask for prayer for the family of Christian, for Eric and Rachel Cox and their family, for Dulcie Reynolds, for Barb Luco, for Frankie Gray, for Brooklyn Clasby, for Carolyn Jury, for Mona Hauser, for Marcella Pilcher, for Betty Gray, for Sandy Santa Stephen, for Betty Patton, for Sonny Rumler, for Frank Rendon, for Ella Clark, for Greg and for Chris, for Don Hermanson, for Lee Connor, and for all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, may all who cry to you receive grace according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your steadfast love and mercy are forever, but our faith is daily tested and tempted. We pray you give us strength and endurance, that we may not despair, but have confidence in your sufficient grace and the strength that comes to us to live according to your word, from your word and sacraments. Lord, we lift our school up to you here at Trinity. We ask that you give our teachers and our staff strength as they return in the coming week and the next week when the students come back, that you'd give them strength and joy in their vocation, and you'd bless our school with continuing opportunities to share the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, let us seek you while you may be found. Call upon you in the day of salvation and be prepared by your mercy for the day of judgment. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed we are, for we have received bountiful goodness from our Lord's hand, and blessed we are with the opportunity to return a portion of the gifts that he's given us to him in order that he might use it to share the blessed gospel of peace and forgiveness with those who haven't heard it and with those who need to hear it every day. As our offerings are collected and presented, we invite you to turn to hymn 709 as we sing together, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Let's sing. you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in to our service, and we send you with the Lord's blessings today. If you're joining us here in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 9 in your bulletin for our service of the sacrament. And we also invite the congregation to please stand for our service of the sacrament if you're able. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, and your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK Walsenburg.